God has given all of us a mission to make disciples here and everywhere for the glory of God. We want our church to be a launch pad for sending people out on the mission God has for them. Regardless of who you are, we all have a role to play. We are all involved in God's story. We pray that the story shared through Mission Control will encourage you to see how God is calling you to be used by Him. Thanks for joining us here in Mission Control today. My name is Amanda, and I'm the Communications Director here at First Baptist Melbourne and the host of this podcast. Today in Mission Control, we have Jason Schack joining us. Jason serves here at First Baptist Melbourne as our campus student pastor, in addition to serving with Fellowship of Christian Athletes, FCA, as the Brevard County Metro Director. Prior to this position, Jason was a teacher at Melbourne High School for 10 years and served as their athletic director until he answered a call to vocational ministry and accepted the student pastor position here at First Baptist Melbourne. Jason's passion and heart for the gospel and for students is clear. I've always been struck by his enthusiasm for the work God has given him. In our conversation today, Jason shares what he calls the behind-the-scenes story of how God began to prepare him for ministry with FCA through his time at Melbourne High, and the journey God brought him through as he shifted from the classroom to vocational ministry. It's an encouraging conversation about the power of simple obedience to say yes when God opens a door for you. So, Jason, where does God currently have you on mission?
Yeah. Has me on mission in Brevard County, so I'm a Brevard County FCA director here, and it's awesome because I've lived here my whole life. Well, 41 out of my 43 years here in Brevard County.
Where did you live before Brevard County?
Well, I didn't. I took 2 years off at UCF. I was in Orlando.
So you're like an hour away.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
Central Florida. This has been your stomping grounds.
That's it.
Okay.
So thankful to serve in the county that I grew up in and was born in.
Nice. So, but what are you doing right now?
Yeah. So as Brevard County FCA director, you know, part of my role is to hire staff and to oversee ministry that's happening. And, you know, certainly in FCA, we've seen God's favor and faithfulness in ways that we could have never have dreamed. Ephesians 3:20, mark there, far more abundantly than we ask or think. And so part of my role is really what's happened is shepherding a staff of 23 in Brevard County now and growing, like two more. We found out today that are going to be coming on, and amazing individuals. And so God has just given us favor, and so I get a chance to lead them.
When you came on staff with FCA, how big was the team at that point?
We had four active
missionaries. So 4 to 23. Yeah, how long has that time ramp been?
That has happened in 4 years.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's, you know, obviously through COVID as well. And so, again, just... to God be the glory. He is showing his faithfulness to us right now.
How did God kind of guide you to FCA? What was that process look like?
Oh, well, that comes into my whole calling into ministry.
Yes,
but,
yes.
You know, as
no,
a
let's go there though.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so, you know, I had my whole life charted out, right? At least I thought. Going to school at UCF, you know, for education. And my dad, my mother and father are both educators. My dad was athletic director at Palm Bay High School for 34 years, mom teacher there for 33, and sister's currently a teacher. Like, education is in my blood. And so went to school to UCF to get that education degree and ended up getting a job full-time at Melbourne High School.
Mm-hmm.
Three years into me being a teacher there and a coach and assistant athletic director, I had many hats at Melbourne High School.
Uh-huh.
I'll never forget the FCA rep who was currently out of Orlando. There was really nothing happening in Brevard County.
Gotcha.
I remember right where I was on campus, and I saw her coming my direction, and actually she said, Doug Malden, who, you know, is a pastor here at First Baptist Melbourne, Doug Malden gave me your name, and she said, would you be interested in taking over FCA here at this campus, because it's gone dormant in Brevard County, And we want to see some ministry happen right here at Melbourne High School.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you, I say this all the time when I share this story with people, the Holy Spirit answered for me, because I had every reason to say no, because I didn't have any more time on my plate.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, what did your role entail at Melbourne High?
Oh my gosh. Well, full-time teacher, assistant athletic director, department chair, and coach of two sports.
Nice. What were you teaching?
Yeah, I was teaching health and physical education. So I a lot of different, you know, schedule will look totally different.
You were already spread thin.
Yes. And so, but I said yes. And I remember saying to myself, I can't believe I just said that.
Like, where did I
just get myself into? And
did you have kids at this time?
Ansley, our first, was just born.
Okay.
And so it was starting to change. You know, things were starting to change then. And that was during the spring. And we had a young man named Logan Thomas that played baseball. He was attended here, actually, at First Baptist Melbourne, one of Doug's leaders. And I remember going straight from that conversation. It was just after lunch to baseball practice. And I went to Logan. I said, Logan. So he was super strong in his faith. This young man was in some degrees leading me as a teacher spiritually. Like I said, Logan, I said, I was asked to take over this FCA club, man. I don't know what to do with this. Like, what are we going to do? Oh, coach, this is awesome. Like, this is great. I remember his response, like just super excited. He goes, we'll meet on Tuesday mornings before school. He goes, I'll teach. He said, and you know what, Nathan, one of my friends, Nathan, I'll get him to, he'll lead a worship song. We'll invite some people. It'll be great. We'll meet in so-and-so's room.
How old was the student?
He was a junior at this time.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, guess we're off and running. We'll put some posters up on school.
Got it planned.
Yes. And so we did just that Tuesday. And this is such a cool story because this is good for me to even share because it reminds me of God's goodness. But I remember that first Tuesday, there was about six kids in that room.
Okay.
And Logan did exactly what he did. He taught out of the book of Matthew. Remember exactly, you know, what he taught about.
That's
the narrow
cool.
path.
Yeah.
And Nathan brought his guitar and he sang a few songs. And I'm like, this is cool. Like, I didn't expect this to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you right now, the next week, there's like 10 kids.
Okay.
A couple weeks later, there was like 15 kids.
Okay.
These kids were owning it. This was
like took it on.
Yes, they did. And I sat there. I mean, like there's no credit to this boy right here. It was God working through these kids. And next thing I know, the year kind of ended and there was, getting close to end and there was 35, 40 kids in there.
Wow.
And so this is now like mid-April and we've only got about a month left of school.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, I was like, you know, there's standing room only in this classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the principal. I said, I said, listen, I know there's only a few weeks left of school, but something is happening with this club. We got standing room only. I said, would you mind if we met in the auditorium?
Mm-hmm.
He said, that would be fine. Heck yeah. He's like, this is great. You guys are doing it. You know, these kids are great kids. And so we did. We put out a thing the next week. And Amanda, all I can tell you is the last week of school, I watched 120 kids.
That's
into that
crazy. That's
for
awesome.
Worship
and a
message.
And what year was this?
This was 2008.
Okay.
And so you know, to kind of speed up the story, 2009 we started school and obviously started with some serious momentum.
Yeah.
All those kids that were leaders were back. They were seniors this time.
Yes, yeah.
We're starting August with that amount of kids coming in.
Wow.
But also having leadership team meetings of 30 kids deep.
Okay.
On a separate day.
Okay.
And so, needless to say, God opened my eyes to what could happen. All of a sudden, I went from all those roles I talked to you about as a teacher to being looked at as one of the spiritual leaders as a staff member on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God needed to do to really change the course of my life and change kind of even... I was a born again Christian. I put my faith and trust in Christ. His Holy Spirit was active in my life. But I mean, I could tell you, you know, that I probably my life wasn't in total alignment, before all this. And God used this opportunity, and watching Him move through the life of young people, lives of young people, to ultimately change again the course of my life. And fast forward, 5 years. You know, later from that day is when, you know, Doug Malden came to me. I was sitting on a golf cart and
you were still doing FCA.
It was, it got up. There was a couple times where we had done a couple events where 600-700 kids were coming to a ministry event on campus.
I was completely unaware of this portion of your story.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know this, and God used every bit of it.
Yeah.
You know, to answer the call. And you know, what started to happen in my heart, Amanda, is I realized that I was impacting lives as a coach and as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I was impacting lives, you know, as a, you know, department chair and things like that. But all of a sudden, you know, Tuesday mornings became my absolute favorite day.
Yeah.
And I would feel more joy, more full out of those FCA meetings, because all of a sudden I started to realize there's needs to be an eternal significance in the way that I use my time.
Mm-hmm.
Little did I know, even in those moments, that God was preparing me for the call to ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be actually as a youth pastor.
Mm-hmm.
But I mentioned being on a golf. I was at a overseeing as in my role as athletic director, assistant athletic director. I had supervision duties.
Okay.
And so I was overseeing a JV football game. And I was sitting there on that golf cart on the track, and you know, I had been meeting with Pastor Scott as an accountability partner. We've been meeting for years, really, okay, since the day he moved here, kind of started that. And we would meet once a week during lunch. And six months before this day that I'm about to share about, like I started to get for the first time in my life this angst about like what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I loved going to school every day.
Yeah.
When I mean loved going to school, I never had a bad day.
Yeah.
If I had a bad day, it was self-induced. It was something that I needed to work through. Never had a bad day. I loved going to work every
okay.
day. But all of a sudden, I started to feel this, like, I couldn't even explain it. To the point of, I remember, like, sitting with Scott and saying,
what's
man,
happening?
Man, yes, we need to pray. Like, I don't know why. I've never yeah. felt this way before.
Yeah.
Talking with Joanna about it. Like, Joanna, I don't know what God is doing in me right now, but this is unlike anything I've felt before. And
mm-hmm.
That leads me to that day on that golf cart.
Okay.
And Doug Malden came down. And on this day specifically, like, I had had lunch with Scott, and it was like an emotional lunch.
Okay.
I'm not a really emotional guy, Amanda, right?
Okay.
And so
it was like came
God
out of
was
nowhere.
Stirring in
yeah.
me. And Doug walks down and he said, hey, I need to talk to you about something. He sits in the golf cart and watching this football game. And he said, we, as a staff today, we decided that it's going to be best for me to take a new position in rec and community ministry. And that's going to leave a position open in student ministry. And he said, I'm just here to tell you that I think that you would do a great job with that. And I think you should pray about putting your name in. And Amanda, all I can tell you is I there was a sense of, like, I don't know if peace is the word, but automatic.
Like a clicking
yes.
in your brain.
So much so that I called as soon as Doug left, you know, that I called Joanna. I said, honey, I think I know what God is preparing me for. I don't know if
yeah.
it's this position, but
yeah.
I think he's calling me into ministry. And I remember
yeah.
her like dropping the phone and having a heart attack, you know, but no, not really. But she's like, well, that's affirming because of how you've been feeling the last six
yeah,
months.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And so needless to say, put in my application and God
was what year was that the timeline
2013.
2013. So Scott had been pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's a, you know, if I can get into and a lot of people don't know this side of the story, which is just unbelievable. But so Doug came to me in August about that.
Okay.
Well, I put in my resume on August 23rd.
Okay.
On August 25th, I found out that I had won Teacher of the Year for Brevard County. Or
okay.
I'm sorry, for Melbourne High School.
Okay.
For the school. And so I was able to actually add that into my resume. It's like, hey, you know, this
like,
is one
hey,
more
by the
thing.
Way.
You know, I might need all the help I can get. You know, no church experience, no seminary,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
this is
yeah,
out of the
yeah.
box type of hire. What was incredible, and this is only God could do something like this. So I put in my resume out of obedience. I felt like this is what God has wanted me to do. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest with you, I wasn't even expecting to get the job. I mean, this
mm-hmm.
would be, again, out of the... In November, I got a call from the church that I had made kind of like the
short list.
The short list, right? On the same day, my principal called me down. He said, hey, I need you to come see me after school today.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, am I getting fired? Does he know that I'm, I mean, what's
going on? I
feel
like I'm
doing
pretty good.
I walked down there, and this was, again, a few months after I had won Teacher of the Year. I had to interview for Teacher of the Year for Brevard County.
Okay.
I walked down to the office and I opened the door and there's all these balloons and people cheering and everything. I found out on the same day that I had made the short list for Brevard County Teacher of the Year.
Wow.
So eight finalists. Right?
Yeah.
I'm interviewing for both of these things.
Did they know at Mel High that you were, okay.
No, not at that time.
Okay.
Because I just didn't know. I didn't,
you didn't know
I
where
didn't
it
know
was
where,
going.
Yeah. I mean, it was still a long way away.
Yeah.
In January, they have the Teacher of the Year Gala.
Okay.
For all of Brevard County, where they announce the Teacher of the Year and do all that. I mean, I had, listen, I was not even the best teacher at Melbourne High School. And so I was overwhelmed with like, this is unbelievable blessing from God. What are you doing right now?
Yeah.
I am on my way to the King Center.
Okay.
With my family.
Okay.
Joanna in the front seat. And I get a text from the, and they didn't know. I mean, I'm not announcing this. Like there's a lot of people, unless you're in education, you don't really know about the Teacher of the Year gala.
Sure.
And so
sure.
I get this text message from the director of, or the person that was overseeing the search committee and saying, we are taking your name as the lead candidate to the pastoral staff.
Okay.
As the youth pastor. And so I'm going to this event now at this point, knowing that there is a really good chance I will be stepping down as a teacher at the
How
end of the
that
year.
How did that feel?
Overwhelming. And I'll tell you, just to get a glimpse, and actually, so Pastor Scott and his wife were gracious enough to come to this event, and actually Dan Carter and his wife.
Nice.
And at the end of the whole event, they had the finalists. It was actually six finalists. I said eight before. It was six okay. finalists, two from the south, two from the central, two from the north.
Okay.
Had to stand up after they showed a video. And as I was standing, I looked down at my wife and I said, not that I'm expecting to win this. I can't win this. Like, I can't win this. And I remember just closing my eyes. It was a very simple prayer. Lord, you are in control of this. You know what you're doing. And I need you to give, to calm me down.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, the second I said, amen, they called my name. And so I'm walking up on that stage as Brevard County Teacher of the Year, knowing that God was in the pursuit or in the midst of calling me to ministry.
Did that feel challenging?
Well, in the moment, I mean, it felt overwhelming, but yeah. You know, he gave me an opportunity on that stage in front of 2,000 people to share the gospel, to
That's
share
cool.
his work in my life, to
yeah.
share that it was by his, and let me pause. I'm not even in the running for Teacher of the Year in my own school if it weren't for FCA.
Yeah.
If it weren't for what we were doing on that campus, how
yeah.
we were making that campus a better place.
Yeah.
We were doing it in the name of Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
But in many people, it was just good work as a teacher or student.
Look at all these students who
right.
are doing great things.
And
yeah.
so, and believe me when I tell you that as much of a blessing as that was from God in the midst of him calling me in ministry, it was the ultimate test.
Yeah.
Because
I'd say.
Yeah. When you're awarded something like that, and again, I would say, you know, undeservingly, because there's so many amazing teachers in Brevard County, 6,700 teachers or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
God used that in a way to affirm my call.
Interesting. Okay.
Because, you know, you win something like that, and all of a sudden, what do you think happens? You're inundated with emails and text messages and praise and all these things. And,
yeah.
And Amanda, it got me to a place where I just didn't know if, how could I leave this? God, I have my own little ministry here at Melbourne High School.
I would think that would be very challenging
yeah.
to be like, I thought this was so clear mm-hmm. that I was going in this direction, mm-hmm. but you're affirming this mm-hmm. direction.
And I'm about to step in a ministry role that I have no idea what I'm stepping into. Like,
yeah.
I mean, God, you must have gotten this wrong. Right?
Yeah.
And so if I'm going to be very honest, and I've obviously told many people this as part of my story, but it was almost the thing. And I remember one day I was had a conversation with a local youth pastor, who was a dear friend of mine, and I was sharing with him that it's like, you know, I think I might pull out of this. Like, this is, you know, something that I don't.
Maybe I got it wrong yeah, back there.
Yeah, I'm really nervous because I'm not going to know what I'm going to. And he just said this quote that many of us have heard. He said, God does not call the equipped, he equips the called.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Jason, I believe that there's no doubt that God is calling you to ministry right now. And you're down to your last step of obedience. And I said, let me pray with you. And he prayed with me. I'm driving my truck. He's praying with me.
Okay.
And that's what it, you know, that was like the final, like push from the Lord through, mm-hmm. through his people, to get me to go through with that. And, you know, next thing I know, I'm in my principal's office and telling him that I'm so grateful for this opportunity, but the Lord has called me to ministry. And I'll never forget, you know, the response that he gave. It was full of grace, but, you know, obviously he was devastated that I was leaving. But
yeah.
I share all that because it is so important to know that even young people can play such a huge role in others'
yeah.
lives. Like those young kids
yeah.
that owned their faith on that campus, changed my life and changed the course of
my life. Well, the two original leaders, when you mm-hmm. said the original yes and you're mm-hmm. feeling really overwhelmed, and then it almost feels like you mm-hmm. were inconsequential. God just needed a teacher to say yes to allow these two kids to come in.
Yeah.
And so I think that's awesome.
And so you see all those threads of God. Right? Mm-hmm. And even so much so is like the favor that that unbelievable award that God blessed me with, mm-hmm. the favor that that gave me, you know, even just in that new role,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, even for some, maybe parents in the church that,
sure,
you know,
yeah.
say, well, I mean, you know, I mean, it
what
just-
What are his qualifications?
Yeah, you yeah. see God's hand in that. And obviously the equipping that he gave me as an educator helped me in many ways as a youth pastor and, mm-hmm. And even today. And so I wouldn't trade my time as a teacher, but then even the 5 years, 5.5 years as a youth pastor to prepare me to be on mission in mm-hmm. my role with Brevard County. Because if you think about my role, what do? I work with the schools,
mm-hmm.
I work with the community, and
you
I work with the local church.
Yeah.
And so without those pieces there, so I can speak to it, our ministry from every angle
yeah.
because of what God has allowed me to do. And
yeah.
And so it just helps me be a better leader in this role. It helps me to develop relationships and to further ministry. And that is all his beautiful plan that was none of my plan, but just took a yes.
Yeah.
And I think for all of us, you know, there's a yes involved.
Yes.
And so, yeah, that's a little bit of the behind the scenes journey of where it led today.
Let's talk about the behind the scenes journey then of those 5 years in ministry and the transition period of the maybe now I'm being called into something else. Mm-hmm. What was that mm-hmm. like?
Yeah. So I'll tell you this. If I compare and contrast the two big jumps,
yes.
so the jump from teacher to youth pastor
yeah.
and the jump from youth pastor to missionary,
yeah.
I can tell you definitively, even with that whole story,
okay.
much harder on me.
Interesting.
To go from youth pastor to this missionary role.
Why would you say that?
Well, so as a teacher and a coach, you're developing relationships and you're doing all that. As a mm-hmm. youth pastor, your relationships are that much deeper.
Okay.
You're doing life with these kids.
Yeah.
And getting to see what God was doing there. We were really growing in numbers, but more so growing, watching these students grow spiritually. Leadership was a well-oiled machine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like at the pinnacle of what I ever dreamed would happen in the student ministry when God started to do that thing that he does. It started to stir my heart. Like, it is the same kind of feelings. Like, this makes no sense. I'm just now learning how to be a youth pastor. Like,
I just got
yes,
this.
Yes, like, serious, truly. I mean,
so, okay, how long were you a teacher?
Yeah. 10
before,
years.
So 10 years. So now you're 5 years into mm-hmm. student ministry. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, you know, they say, I mean, this is any business world or anything. They say like 3 years to learn your role.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like by 3 years, whether you're a coach or a business leader
whatever
or whatever,
you
learn.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt. My goodness gracious. Like those first couple of years as youth pastor, I mean, oh boy, did I learn. It's just.
Well, and you had because Doug previously had yeah. been student pastor for how long?
I think he was 18 years before.
So, like, those are big shoes to step yeah. into a long tenure
yes,
like that.
Yeah. Doug had forgotten more about student ministry than I will have ever learned, right? And so, you know, and yes, that was significant, you know, but was confident in what God was doing in me and what he was doing at that time. But, you know, learned really quick. I mean, just to be transparent, as a ministry leader, you know, I was very tempted and fell to leading a ministry in my own power, leading this ministry in a way that I kind of got to a place after year one where I kind of got into this rhythm of saying, as I exit out this youth room and these glass doors every Wednesday and Sunday, if Jesus were standing on those glass door at those glass doors, watching what just happened on mm-hmm. Wednesday night or on Sunday mm-hmm. morning, would he flip that table over there,
mm-hmm.
or would he say, "Well done, good and faithful servant,"
mm-hmm.
you know, and would he be pleased?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, my first year or two, you know, really the first year, I can say that. You know, I spent more time being concerned about how to get more kids in the door and how to connect with them, how to have a fun youth ministry. And
yeah.
all those things are important, obviously. But they're not more important than what you build the ministry on, what the cornerstone of the ministry is on, right?
Yeah.
And that's his word.
Yeah.
And that's his Spirit's movement and what he's doing. And It's a significant change after year one, and just truly building the ministry on Christ alone. Not worried about how much free pizza we're giving out. Not worried about how many games we're paying. Actually, as a matter of fact, we eliminated games.
Okay.
And that's when we saw the growth of that ministry take place. We were doing verse by verse book studies on Wednesday night. We were simulating church services on Wednesday night because, as you know, after youth ministry, kids leave. And so how do we get them to feel what a church service looks like? Because that's what they're going to be connected with the rest of their life. Just some real alignment took place after that first year. And so going into year five, you know, you start to see the fruit of all that.
Yeah.
But you know, God was clearly calling me to the mission field. And, you know, I look back on that now and, you know, really that was, I mean, gosh, you know, that was 2018. So 5 years from today and just seeing what's happening within FCA. And again, through that, yes, even though it didn't make sense and it hurt deeply. I'm grateful to still be a small part of the student ministry back there. And that's a huge blessing in my life to still be a part of that. But, that's very, very much some details behind the scenes there of what God was doing in my life, and certainly me leaving much out, but that's some of the highlights.
That's cool. Yeah. So what are some of the cool things you've witnessed and now almost 5 years at FCA?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, you know, certainly the first thing that comes to mind is staff. Like, so 4 years ago, this coming fall, we actually had Bobby Bowden come and do a banquet for us.
I remember, yes.
And we announced on that day, at that time, it was myself, Travis, Rebecca, Dan, so and Lori and admin. So we had five staff at the time. And we told everybody that was at that banquet that the five of us, including some of our board members and everything, we're going to start every day at 10:02. You just heard my alarm.
I remember, yes.
You just heard my alarm go off before we started this fight. That was that alarm.
Yeah.
That we would begin to pray after the Luke 10:2 prayer. That the Lord would send laborers to the harvest field because the harvest is plentiful and laborers are few. And we've been praying that prayer faithfully for 4 years, every single day. And to see God answer that prayer with 23, about to be 25 staff is number one, because ministry happens through boots on the ground.
Yeah.
Right. And so that is the single biggest answer to prayer that I have seen. But in conjunction with that, as ministry happens and different ministry pillars have been erecting for us here in Brevard, pillars like the All Abilities ministry, pillars like our sports ministry with league and club sports. See, we're no longer like the just the campus focused ministry. We're very much actually we're seeing God open more doors for us in the community than even the campus. We'll always be on the campus as long as we're allowed to be.
Yeah.
And we have a strategic play that we run on that campus. But you know, one of the things that comes to mind a year and a half ago is as we've started FCA sport, you know, we've started volleyball teams. We have volleyball teams, we have wrestling teams, we have baseball teams. Well, volleyball needs a place to practice like all of our teams. And this was during COVID, right? Smack dab in the middle of COVID, of course.
Great timing.
Yeah, changes much. And so we had at this time three teams, which made up six campuses. So what we like to say is—
Are these like club teams?
Club teams.
Okay. So, I'm not as familiar in the world of sports.
6 months of practice, tournaments, you can go deep with these players.
Okay.
And that's why we're in this. You know, we want to be able to go deeper with some of these players and equip them and empower them to do the work of the ministry. Well, I had everything set, places for them to practice, you know, different schools here locally, and— you know where I'm going to go with this. So I got all these families committed to us, kids committed, and I'm starting to get these calls from athletic directors.
Yeah.
Hey, we know we told you that you guys could practice here, but we had to move basketball season from, you know, the fall to the spring, and the gym's no longer available. And so, I mean, I started to get super frustrated. I felt like some of those disciples on the boat when the wind and waves started to get bigger and I'm panicking and Jesus is right there sleeping and I'm focusing on the waves and the wind a little more than I am him.
Yes.
And I was falling to that. I'll be honest. Like I was not in a good place. Just like, what am I going to have to do? I'm going to close this program down. God, you open these doors. And that led me to right where we stand, almost where we sit, about 100 yards from where we are. This church had opened their doors for us to practice here as I was trying to scramble to find places and walk in and see this parent and actually a donor of the ministry, supporter of the ministry. And I'll never forget. He just asked me on the wrong day. He asked me how I'm doing.
Like, do you really want to know?
Yeah. And so let me pause. So you asked me what kind of cool things, you know, I've seen. So on the same day at 2:30,
okay,
our volleyball director had pulled into this facility, this big warehouse over in Palm Bay. Mm-hmm. She was eating her Jesus chicken, Chick-fil-A. Yeah. And she, as she was eating it, she looked in the mirror or in the window and she saw a faint for sale sign. And so she got, after she finished her lunch, she got up and she kind of peeked her head in the windows and she could see that it was like a big, pretty big facility there. And she just steps back, takes a picture of it and said, she sent it to me. She said, Jason, this is all we need to run our program one day.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be very, very honest with you. She sent me that picture and I'm like, I read that text. I was like, yeah, that'd be great. You know,
yeah.
Didn't even think a thing of it, but it sat right there. That was at 2:30.
Yeah.
At 4:30, this parent asked me how I'm doing. And I shared with them, I'm frustrated. And I said, to be honest with you, I don't even know if we're going to have a volleyball program.
Yeah.
I don't know where we're going to practice. All these things are happening. And he said to me, quote, we just need our own facility one day. And of course that sparked literally the last text that I received.
Yeah.
So I pulled out my phone. I went to that text and I clicked on the picture. And I said, you're right. We just need something like this. Of course, this was $950,000.
Yeah. And you're like, bleh.
But I showed it to him. He took the phone out of my hand, zoomed in on it. He goes, is this off Agora Circle? And I said, I didn't even know where it was. I said, I don't know. I said, I think so, maybe. I said, maybe. And he goes, this used to be a gymnastics gym.
Oh.
He said, I tried to buy this place 5 years ago. Is it for sale again? And I said, well, if you see on that picture, like it's right behind the windows. He left this conversation, walked out the doors, made a phone call to the real estate agent and came back in and said, can you go with me tomorrow at 2:00 to look at the place? And I'm like, what is happening right now? And I mean, for the sake of time, we did. It was a storage unit. It was for sale. 41 days later, I was picking up the keys to that place.
And it looks nice now.
And yeah, he redid everything. God provided a place for us to practice in the meantime. But the following year, we were practicing in our own facility that we practice in still today. Had practice there last night.
And now First Baptist Melbourne borrows from y'all.
And now, yeah, one of our church plants.
Yeah.
So that place is used 7 days a week for
ministry.
That's
awesome.
And one of our own staff members, Dario Siri, who's the youth pastor at Christ Community Church, they run 30 kids every Sunday night because they got the awesomest youth, you know, facility ever, you know, there. But I mean, yet again, just God's strength and our weakness. I was a very weak moment there. It was not any great planning that I did. It was just sharing a need and God stirring in the heart of one of his people and God providing. And so when you're on the mission field and you're raising support for ministry, when you're trying to see to what God is calling you to do to be able to bring the gospel to, and we have 10 volleyball teams that make up 106 kids.
That's wild. I didn't know that.
Well, and here's the great thing, that make up 14 campuses.
Wow.
And the humbling thing about having these girls on these teams is, as a youth pastor, we will actually have 33 more touches with these girls than a kid that I would have as a youth pastor.
Yeah.
With perfect attendance.
Yeah.
Both Wednesday and Sunday.
Yeah.
Because of the amount of time we spend with them.
Yeah.
So now hear me. Not taking the place of a church, far from it, coming alongside the church.
Yeah.
But being able to take some of these kids that don't have as much time because they are athletes, strong athletes. And so, you know, some of them can't make it to church as much as others. And so bridging that gap and filling that gap alongside the church, getting them connected to make sure they're connected to the church, but coming alongside them and discipling them well, is something that we take very seriously with our club teams, all of them, baseball, wrestling, and volleyball.
So you have 3 club teams right now?
We have 3 club organizations. We have 2 wrestling teams, 2 baseball teams, and 10 volleyball teams.
Okay, wow.
So
you also have some like community sports leagues and stuff too.
Leagues. So we just finished our soccer league, which had 220 participants. You know, there'd be 500 people on that field every Saturday, and I think we ran it for 10 weeks, and it was so neat because it would run from 9 to 11, and at 9:50 every Saturday morning, the field would go silent. These kids would circle up.
That's cool.
Our 22 coaches would lead them in a 15-minute to 20-minute devotion Bible mm-hmm. study,
mm-hmm.
and we would send out the notes to the parents, engage the families, and mm-hmm. be very intentional spiritually. And so we've got a flag football league that starts in the fall.
Cool.
We've got a summer basketball league that runs all summer at Calvary that's
cool.
going to engage every varsity team or most varsity teams, basketball teams in the county.
That's cool.
And so, I mean, just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So you said earlier that ministry takes boots on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
What encouragement would you have for someone who's maybe feeling that stir to get engaged in ministry?
Well, that's a great question, and I love that question, and there's multiple levels for that. Let's take the church. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So you have called pastors of the church. You have called staff members like yourself at the
mm-hmm.
church. They're paid ministry positions, but you know as well as I know what drives this church are volunteers.
Yeah.
You know, and so I would answer that question as a two-phase approach. For me, God was calling me to full-time vocational ministry, even though
mm-hmm.
it was no plans of mine whatsoever.
Yeah.
And it was a clear calling, and I knew that he was calling me to that, and the answer had to be yes. Right?
Yeah.
You don't tell God no. But
it's not comfortable for
right,
you.
You know, and so that's one lane. But as called ambassadors of Christ, we're all called to ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to look differently. We're called to ministries in our homes as mothers and fathers.
Mm-hmm.
We're called to ministry in the community. So much of what we do within FCA is already kind of where you are,
mm-hmm.
right? And so we are desperate for empowered volunteers, is what we call them. Like, these are trained up volunteers that we can say lead our FCA fit classes in
mm-hmm.
our gym,
mm-hmm.
Come alongside our volleyball coaches. Every one of our volleyball coaches, we pay them a little supplement for being a coach. My goodness, they're staff members.
Yeah.
Right? They're discipling these girls. They're 6 to 10 month volunteers because it's always something going on.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that internal wrestle of like, what does God call me to do? You know, some of the most important people in our ministry are actually the ones that are working secular jobs
mm-hmm.
that are blessed to be compensated very well, that infuse us with finances to allow us to do ministry, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are so important.
Mm-hmm.
And so just understanding, I think that as followers of Christ, we're all called to ministry
mm-hmm.
and just trying to discern through the will of God, like what is it? I mean, we've seen some incredible people be called out of the secular world into
mm-hmm.
ministry. And that's great. We've also seen some incredible people that are working in the secular field that are some of our greatest volunteers that are the backbone of our ministry.
Yeah.
And so I think it kind of comes back down to understanding we're all called to be ambassadors for Christ.
Yeah.
He's making his appeal through us.
Yeah.
But being open to what he may do.
And being open to where he's calling you to engage
that's
into
right.
that. Yeah.
And that's a great word. It's actually part of our E3 strategy is engage, equip, and empower.
Uh-huh.
Well, the first word is engage. So we want to engage people.
Didn't even know that.
Yeah,
I played right into you.
Would you like Amanda, we're hiring. I mean, so.
I'm pretty happy here.
All right. But, you know, so that's the first stage, though, is the engaging people. And we want to equip them
mm-hmm.
and then empower them to do the work of the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the best ministry we do are the ministries that our paid staff don't even come to.
Yeah.
Because we have an amazing volunteer or a student
yeah.
leader that is killing it out there.
Yeah.
You know, and we get just to see the pictures or hear the fruit of it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Cool. So finally, what advice or encouragement would you have for someone who's feeling the call to make disciples here and everywhere for the glory of God?
Mm.
Kind of feels like the same question, but
well, it is the highest calling and the most important question that we will ever ask
mm-hmm.
this side of eternity. It is not a church's strategy. It's not FCA's strategy. It is Christ's strategy that he left us.
The strategy.
It's the one.
Yeah.
And so again, it's back to that, like we've trusted him as Lord and Savior and he's
mm-hmm.
the Lord of our life.
Mm-hmm.
This is the strategy
mm-hmm.
and it can happen at Harris
mm-hmm.
and it can happen at Northrop Grumman.
Mm-hmm.
It can certainly happen on the mission field
mm-hmm.
and it's most certainly can happen within the church
mm-hmm.
To be engaged in that. to be a part of that. And there's not one exception.
Yeah.
Not one person that has a disability, not one person that has fears or concerns of their inadequacies.
Mm-hmm.
God's strength is made perfect in our weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get a chance to join him in that, we experience it and it changes our life.
Mm-hmm.
Just like it did for me as a teacher at Melbourne High School.
Yep.
When it was a Holy Spirit-led yes, backed by much uncertainty, but was filled with God's presence and led to so much more in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that that's just a picture of all of our lives.
Yep.
But it comes down to our obedience and our willingness to trust God and where he will lead us.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. So if someone's listening to this and they're very interested in FCA and want to learn more, where would you send them?
Yeah. It's a pretty super simple Google search, Brevard FCA, or same thing with Facebook. You can go to our Brevard FCA webpage and you'll see my email address and our staff. And we would love to just talk with anyone out there that was even thinking about ways to serve their community in the name of Jesus.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining me today. I've been looking forward to this one.
It's been a blast. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks for listening to this episode of Mission Control. If you're interested in learning more about Launch 10X and the different ways to get involved in what God is doing here at First Baptist Melbourne, a great place to start would be visiting our website, launchme.church. On our next episode of Mission Control, we have Michelle joining us. Michelle and her husband Clay currently serve overseas in Nairobi, Kenya through SIM Missions. Michelle grew up here at First Baptist Melbourne, and their family is one of the many missionary families we support as a church. Our conversation together centers around how God stirred our heart towards international missions slowly over time, and how God continues to be faithful through her 16 years overseas. Until then, I hope you have a great week on mission with King Jesus.